Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Andy Lee, and I am the head basketball coach of the Thunder Mountain Girls High School basketball team.
Where are your roots from?
I'm a Southeast Alaska guy. I proudly like to call home, and the people of Angoon have proudly kind of embraced me and allowed me to call that home. I lived there for quite a while. My kid's mother hails from there. And but Ohio is where I originated from. And I went to college, went to high school there, played high school basketball and college basketball there, and moved to Alaska and thought it would be a summer only kind of a thing, and then another summer and another summer and another winter, and here I am.
What made you start your basketball career?
Well, it was in the small town that I grew up in, it was the big thing. And all the popular kids kind of gravitated toward basketball. And I was tall and lanky and kind of uncoordinated. But people were very patient and taught me the game. And I got pretty darn good at it. And it allowed me to travel and see places. And I liked the group of people that I got to play with. And I had some wonderful coaches. And I got to see the world playing ball.
When you were younger, what was your favorite position to play?
I think most players like to have the ball in their hands. So even though I'm somewhat tall, I was a point guard. And I liked handling the ball and distributing it and sharing it and kind of, I think the thing that I wanted most to do was make the people around me better. And you could do that if you had the ball in your hands.
Have you ever met anyone in the NBA?
Our own Carlos Boozer. Lots of the Seattle Supersonics. I was the executive director of the West Seattle YMCA. And we did a lot of community service with the Seattle Supersonics at the time. They are now the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so I got to know and become friends with a number of the Sonics. And a number of the Sonics coaches. And later on, I've worked with the Memphis Grizzlies staff and some of their players. So I also do player development at Gonzaga University, and several of their players have gone on to play in the NBA. And it's not that I'm a close friend or anything, but my association with them is that I've worked camps and clinics in which they were participants. So I have some... I've had a cup of coffee with NBA players, let's put it that way.
How do you deal with discipline issues with your teammates?
As a coach or as a teammate?
Your coach.
As a coach, my dad had a saying, there's nothing more unfair than the equal treatment of unequal individuals. And so that what he was trying to tell me was that if you have one rule that applies to everyone, it will at times be unfair. And I found that to be true. And so if someone misses work every day, you treat them differently than someone that is late one time. And so discipline is probably the hardest thing any coach has to do because you care about the people you coach. And much like a parent, consequences are hard to apply. It's hard to deprive someone of something they love. So if they don't get to play or there can be hurt feelings. There can be consequences for the team if one player has to be disciplined. So it's the hardest thing that a coach has to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. And it was a lesson that was difficult for me to learn as a young coach. And I think I'm still learning.
Have you ever played for Alaska?
Yes, actually played and coached. There was... In the 80s and 90s, there were national native tournaments. And there was the Team Alaska women's team that played in Wyoming. The national tournaments were held on a large reservation. So the Wind River Reservation, the Lummi Reservation, the Pima. And so I got to go to all those places and represent the state either as a player or a coach.
How do you stay motivated after losing a game?
I like – there's that sign on the radio. You can't see it, but I'm making that big L sign with my fingers. And to that and so when somebody does that, it means what?
Loser.
Yeah, but see, where I live, that means learn. So you either win or you learn. And so the L in my world is you learn. And so if we lose by 1 point, what did we learn that can help us win next time? If we lose by a lot, what can we learn so that we're more competitive next time? And so so you run out of time sometimes, and as opposed to losing. Losing sometimes indicates that you're losers, and that's not always the case. I've had some very – you know, some teams that weren't very talented, and they, for them, winning was giving 100%. So the closer they could get to 100% of their talent or their potential, that was the win. And now that might not be indicated on the score, but for me, that was the win. And so for me, it's that's the lesson I try to, you know, get across to my teams. And I think that's a lot of my teams have gotten better as the season has worn on because they learn. Sometimes that, someday that'll come up and say, it's that loser.
Yeah. How old were you when you started playing basketball?
There was a thing that so I was pre-internet. And so the snail mail and shopping gave me my first basketball opportunity. My grandmother at the grocery store collected, when she bought her groceries, they would give you what was called S&H green stamps. And you would take these stamps and put them in a booklet at home. And then there was a catalog. And the more groceries you bought, the more stamps you got. And then you could take those stamps and look in the catalog and get an item, whether it was a toaster or a Tupperware or a bowl or a hat. There was a basketball. And she said, I've got enough stamps. What do you want? And I was six. And I want that ball. And so I was too young to get it up to the basket, but I remember trying real hard at six. And then life-changing for me was I joined the YMCA. And it was like the Boys and Girls Club with a building and swimming pool and a gym. And the people there were really responsible for me learning to play.
What are some obstacles you overcame when you started to be a coach?
I still wanted to play. And so one of the things was you have to – there has to be a self-awareness that your job isn't to be the best player on the team you're coaching. So sometimes I would catch myself teaching them to shoot and I was doing all the shooting. Or I would try to teach them to dribble and I was doing all the dribbling. And it's about letting go of yourself as a player and becoming a coach. And knowing when your audience is no longer listening and sometimes. So I had to learn that golden moment when they'd gotten the message, shut up and move on. And so, and communication, you know, is a big deal. Listening, some people listen so that they can speak. They're just waiting for you to stop. So that they're not listening to you. They're just waiting for you to stop talking. And so for me, it was listening, learning to listen, to hear what my players had to say. So I think my teams got better as my players realized I valued their input. Coach, that play's not working, or coach, could we try this? Or coach, I'd like to suggest that we take more timeouts or that we run more. And so as I became a better coach when I started listening to my players.
What advice has another coach given you that you will always remember?
That losing will make you better. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. Bert Adams was the coach at Yakutat and valued friend, retired coach now. And my very first year at Sitka, we won 3 out of 28 games. And I didn't know what he meant at the time, but what he really meant was that when that season ended, I went right to work. On the next season, I watched video, I studied, I became a student of the game. And because he knew that my competitive fire wasn't going to allow me to just sit back and repeat what I'd done the year before that led to the losing. And so I put more time into player development. I flew to college talked to college coaches and flew down to Gonzaga and other places and watched practices and basically took the best of what other people did and put it into my a lot of there's not very new things in some in most sports. Things have been done for 100 years. You just have to figure out how to make them work. And so I would go to high school basketball player practices of successful coaches and college practices and bring back ideas and then make them my own. And so so the advice was losing will make you a better coach. And over time it did.
Lastly, before your career as a coach, what did you do?
Oh, my goodness. So I worked across the street as the director of the Zach Gordon Youth Center. I was the superintendent of youth corrections at the Johnson Center for 13 years. I was the executive director of the West Seattle Y for 1 year. My job was to open the Y to get it started. It was the first YMCA in a low-income housing development. And there were people emigrating from the Vietnam War, Hmongs, Cambodians, Laotians. And so my job was to open up a social gathering place for them. And so I taught kindergarten K-1 at Gaston Elementary School. I was the worst kindergarten teacher in the history of kindergarten. It was not like the movie, Kindergarten Cop or whatever that was. It was, if you can't find them, you can't teach them, you know. And so, but I found out that I was very good with kids that were at risk. And I had empathy and I was interested in, how their lives would turn out. And so that became part of my coaching. And now I get to do the two things that I'm passionate about. I'm a counselor and I'm a coach.
That is the end of the interview. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.